Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio. 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You download it from your App Store, your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store. Once it's downloaded, you look for WILK News Radio, click follow. That's it. That's all you have to do. And it's free. So try it out for a couple weeks. If you don't like it, clear it off your home screen. It's that easy. It's worth a shot. I use it constantly, especially when I'm traveling. Podcast, we got you covered there. Anywhere you get your favorite podcast, just search for The Rob O'Donnell Show. And smart speakers, more and more people listening to us via smart speakers. Just ask those little guys to play WILK News Radio, and it'll play us live. It's 309, 54 degrees. On this Tuesday, April 21st, 2026. How's everyone doing today? Crawling into the week. I get it. I know it's only Tuesday, but don't worry. Then Wednesday, and it's over the hump, and it's downhill into the weekend from there. Rest of the week doesn't look too bad. I think we got past the cold days. We did wake up by me, at least with a hard freeze. Frost on everything. Hopefully it didn't damage too much. You know, I'm thinking the rain, the amount of rain we got the day before might have helped a little bit. But I guess we'll see. Before we get into some stories, I'm seeing that the Pennsylvania House Democrats are stating that they just passed a bill to increase the state minimum wage to $15 an hour. Well, that's great, changing something that no one gets paid now anyway. You know, for 3 years, I've been asking who makes minimum wage here, and I have yet to have anyone reach out and say they do. Now, there are people who make less than $15 an hour, no doubt, but there are also businesses that are struggling to get by, small businesses in particular, that the $15 an hour minimum wage is going to hurt and people will lose their job. This has been proven time and time again. And California was the latest to prove that when they did it for fast food workers and thousands lost their jobs. On another note, the lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania says, just posted, the longer Pennsylvania holds out to legalize recreational marijuana, the longer we lose out on necessary tax revenue or an expected $200 million annually. Necessary tax revenue or an expected $200 million annually. I'd like to stress that part right there. So you need to legalize recreational marijuana to meet your fiduciary duties as state leadership to fund the state. Well, then obviously you're spending far too much and need to cut back on things, don't you think? If this extra $2 million to legalize this is what you need to run your government, then you're running government wrong to begin with. But I like the way you put in on necessary tax revenue or an expected $200 million. See, it's a slush fund for them. First of all, they're always spending above their means. We don't take in as much as we spend, so this plugs some of those holes. And even if it did, they want to use it as some sort of slush fund to pay for the things they can't pay for right now, but they're really working hard by taxing us up the yin-yang to get it done. So there was just two little things I came across when I was just refreshing my pages here on my X account that I found amusing. The other one is Pennsylvania's ban on state Medicaid dollars paying for low-income people's abortion care is unconstitutional, a state appellate court ruled Monday. Now, in a 4-3 decision, the Pennsylvania State Court of Appeals said that the ban on these public dollars paying for abortions violates the Pennsylvania Constitution's Equal Rights Amendment and Equal Protection provision beyond any genuine dispute of fact. Now, this case will be appealed and is said still could be appealed, and it will be appealed to the state Supreme Court, and I would imagine federally. There are federal laws that prevent this, and even so. So you mean to tell me the 4-3 decision from the State Court of Appeals says because the Pennsylvania Constitution says equal rights and equal protection provisions that tax dollars should go to pay for abortions in Pennsylvania because abortion and health care is a right. Okay, well, the Pennsylvania Constitution also said that, and I'll give you the exact wording because I'll have someone come out and say, that's not what it says. because I actually looked up what it says. But when it comes to the Second Amendment, the Pennsylvania Constitution is pretty clear. No, that's the wrong one. That's them. Go, I got it here. Hang on, hang on. It's one of those days, I know. Mm-hmm. Oh, for some reason, it's not there. Maybe I didn't post it. Where did I post it? We'll see. Well, to get the gist of it, the Pennsylvania Constitution says that, here you go, it was on X. The Pennsylvania Constitution also guarantees the right to bear arms shall not be questioned. So where do I pick up my taxpayer-funded voucher for my next firearm is what I'm asking here. If the Pennsylvania taxpayer is going to be mandated by the Pennsylvania Court of Appeals to pay for low-income abortions with Medicaid dollars, because the Pennsylvania Constitution's Equal Rights Amendment and Equal Protection provision is in violation if they don't, well then, because the Pennsylvania Constitution says that my guaranteed right to bear arms shall not be questioned, I'm looking for my voucher to be picked up. If you want to travel somewhere for to practice your free speech, if you want to go protest somewhere, is the Pennsylvania government helping you pay to get there? You get a voucher for travel. I mean, and we can go through the rights here that they're using here. Now, this was brought by seven reproductive health providers who had argued, among other things, that patients have a fundamental right to make their own reproductive decisions. They absolutely do. That's not in question. The question is here, shall the taxpayer dollars fund it? That's where my issue comes in. I absolutely believe 100% with that argument. Patients have a fundamental right to make their own reproductive decisions. Absolutely. That does not mean the taxpayer's funding it. It's as simple as that. Now, in the court's majority opinion, Judge Matthew Wolf wrote, recognizing this fundamental right, it's necessary to restrict state government to its proper sphere, thus protecting our liberty. Oh, okay, the same could be said about the Second Amendment then, based on this judge's decision to use taxpayer dollars to fund low-income abortions. Well, you know, I'm low-income, I can't afford a firearm. The Pennsylvania Constitution says my right to own a firearm shall not be questioned. Where do I pick up my voucher? Now, the dissenting judge, Patricia McCulloch, accused the majority opinion judges of moving too quickly and ruling by judicial fiat, and said they are creating a new fundamental right that has no definition, no contours, no practical validity, and no textual support. Now, the case has already followed a complicated path up and down Pennsylvania's appellate court. The Commonwealth Court previously dismissed the case, but in 2024, the state Supreme Court sent the case back to the lower bench, ordering its judges to reconsider. The high court set a new precedent in that decision, saying that under Pennsylvania Equal Rights Amendment, abortion restrictions could be considered sex-based discrimination. The justices also said that any law that creates such a sex-based discrimination is presumptively unconstitutional. No one's saying they can't do it. No one's saying they can't have it. What we're saying, and the law said, is the Pennsylvania taxpayer should not have to foot the bill for that. It's as simple as that. And again, mind you, this will be appealed. This will go further than the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. It already appears that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court has opined on this already, kind of giving a blueprint for the Pennsylvania Court of Appeals to come down with a decision in this way. This will go further than there. Again, because there's federal law that prevents taxpayer dollars from funding abortions. This isn't about pro-life or pro-choice. This is simply about should the Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars fund it. No one's saying they can't or shouldn't or should be prevented to or should. Again, my only issue with this is why should taxpayer dollars pay for it? And it's simple as that. And there's a lot of arguments like that. You know, I was looking at a quote from a senator, U.S. senator today, that said the movement to take candy and sugary drinks out of SNAP is discriminatory because why shouldn't they be able to enjoy life a little bit? And again, I have no qualms with anyone enjoying life more than a little bit. But what does that have to do with taxpayer dollars going to fund under a nutrition program treats like candy and sweetened soda under SNAP benefits? The supplemental nutrition is the word there. And you listen, I'm all for them enjoying life and having some of the good things, which I don't think candy and sweet soda should be classified under, but if that's what they want to go with. And again, the caveat there is, you know, why should taxpayers? Here's people who are saying they can't afford food. They can't afford to get nutritious meals for their family. Okay. Well, we're going to cut out candy, cookies, and sweet soda. Whoa, 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 whoa. You can't do that. Why can't you do that? You're saying you couldn't afford nutritious meals to feed your family. Well, we should enjoy things too, right? You shouldn't enjoy them. Well, the difference is I'm buying the things I enjoy with my own money. You're buying the things that you say you just want to enjoy, so you really don't need nutritious food. You just want junk food, or at least some of it. And here, same thing. They're using the Pennsylvania Constitution and doing mental gymnastics or legal gymnastics with it to kind of make it fit their argument. Well, okay. Well, it's written in black and white in the Pennsylvania Constitution that my right to bear arms shall not be questioned. So if I can't afford one, the Pennsylvania taxpayer should make up that difference, right? Should get me a voucher to purchase that firearm so I can be in line with the Pennsylvania Constitution that says it shouldn't be questioned. Well, if I can't afford it, that's a question. I want this type of firearm. All right, well, it's $400. Can you afford it? No. Well, you can't question me that way, though. The state needs to provide me with a voucher. That's how ludicrous these arguments are. And again, this isn't about their right to do so. This is about should the taxpayer in Pennsylvania, some who have religious or moral objections to it, but again, their right, their doctor, let them do what they want. I'm not judging if it's right or wrong. My personal opinion, I'm pro-life. But hey, that's the law right now. But why should the taxpayer have to pay for it? Now, if they want to put a fund together for taxpayers that would like to pay for it, then have at it. But to say that this violates the Pennsylvania Constitution and we must pay for it, I don't know. But that's just me. You make up your own mind, because that's what we're here to discuss, right? Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Navy guy checked in, said the same court said mail-in ballots for any reason is constitutional, even though the Constitution explicitly states the only reasons for mail-in ballots. That makes a point there. True is, indeed. Rob, you're right on. I'm pro-life, and I think it's horrible that tax dollars go to murder our unborn souls. Keep up the good word. And thanks. Well, no problem. That's what we're here for, to discuss these things. And we got one of the high attentive listeners. Tucker, Owens, Jones, and Kelly and other influencers are bailing on Trump. Tucker even apologized for helping get him elected. What is it going to take to get you off the train? Well, if you're really using Owens, Alec Jones, and Tucker Carlson, Megyn Kelly I like, and she's gone back and forth, but if you're really using Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, and Alec Jones as your probably someone you've badmouthed time and time again, if I go back in the search and look at your messages here, then you're already on the losing side, so good luck with that. Good luck with that indeed. A violent teen mob beats a Temple University student in dorm in a vicious caught-on-video attack. A violent group of juveniles allegedly chased a Philadelphia college student across campus and into a residence hall before beating him in a vicious caught-on-video attack. The assault happened around 2:50 a.m. Sunday at Temple University when the teens chased the student into Morgan Hall, South Dorm. Once inside, the group struck the student and damaged university property. The unidentified student sustained minor injuries in the attack and declined medical treatment at the scene. The damage caused inside the residence hall by the thugs include a smashed monitor in the security desk. Police released surveillance images showing at least 9 male teenagers believed to have been involved in the assault, some wearing hoodies, facial coverings, while others' faces were visible to the camera. No arrests have been made yet. Now, investigators are working alongside safety officials in the School District of Philadelphia and the Philadelphia Police Department and are urging the public to help identify those involved. Circumstances led to the attack at one of the campus's largest dormitories, which housed more than 1,200 students, remains under investigation. It's concerning whenever our residents, we're here for the safety of our residents and the students. So when anybody is victimized, it's concerning to us. We take very seriously, he said. Now, looking at the images here, it appears that the victim was white and the 9 assailants were all male black. Now, they don't say that anywhere in the story, but if you look at the surveillance pictures, that's what it appears. An investigation is ongoing from the video. We have some still shots, and we're hoping the community can help us identify. Temple University sophomore said the attack has put things into perspective for him. It puts the threat actually into perspective because, especially knowing as a college student, your main priority is education, not really safety. But this happening is a little bit more in the forefront, he told the outlet. Police have ramped up patrols in the area following the incident and urging students to take advantage of campus safety resources. We have TU Safety App, which is the app you can install on your telephone and request a walking escort. You can request a flight shuttle to basically give you a ride home. Temple University sits in the heart of Philadelphia with roughly 30,000 students enrolled throughout the school year. Now, Temple University is not a cheap university. So imagine paying $50,000 a year in tuition. Nothing good happens in midnight, after midnight, especially out in the streets. But, who knows the circumstances? But there was obviously groups of people out at that time, 2 something in the morning. And not only 2:50, almost 3 o'clock in the morning. So bars are already closed, right? And again, you really can't tell the age of any of these, which is probably why they're reaching out to the high schools as well to see if there's any identification that could be found. But I love the campus security saying, well, we have an app that you can request assistance. Oh, I'm getting chased by 9 individuals and about to get my butt kicked. Hang on, let me take out my phone and request an escort on the app. Really not realistic there, is it? But, it is Philadelphia, so be careful where you send your kids to school. Again, we don't know what caused this, what started it. It was obviously what appeared to be a 9-on-1 situation where they pursued him into a dorm, so that would be burglary, trespassing, assault. If they took anything, you can add robbery to that because there wasn't the assault. So, does anyone think if they are caught with the district attorney in Philadelphia that there will be real accountability held? Yeah, me neither. And now you have 30,000 students' parents questioning, why do we send our kids there? And until they stop sending their kids there, things like this happen. It's 3:32 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. looking at this Nike. Yes, the big company, Nike, the shoe company, well, clothing company, multi-company. They're in hot water with some Boston Marathon, actually just people in general. You know, people just want to be angry about something. You know, Nike had a marketing campaign at the end of their, along the route of the Boston Marathon. And, you know, in the marketing sense of things, they thought they were being cute, but walkers, a lot of people walk the marathon, fast speed walkers, regular walkers. You know, listen, if you could do it, do it. But people are accusing, especially the walking community, the Nike company of pace shaming ahead and during the Boston Marathon. Their marketing campaign said, runners welcome, walkers tolerated. Now, I don't personally see anything wrong with that. I mean, the whole point of running shoes is to get out and run. Now, if you just walk, if that's your thing, there's nothing wrong with that. Surely not enough to get angry about. Now, Nike yanked the Boston Marathon ad that mocked walkers following accusations of pace shaming and excluding athletes with disabilities. I think that's a stretch. The sportswear giant removed the sign stating in all caps, runners welcome, walkers tolerated, from its flagship on Boston Newbury Street, just ahead of Monday's competition after outrage erupted online. Numerous commentators argued that the wording sidelined anyone who doesn't run continuously, including those who rely on walk breaks or participate in adaptive divisions. The backlash turned the storefront display into a flashpoint, prompting the company to replace the ad with a more inclusive messaging over the weekend. And now, is this where we're really at? I mean, does anyone find that offensive? Runners welcome, walkers tolerated. They're an athletic company. And yes, if you're walking, if you're bicycling, if you're doing it, you're involved in athletics. I don't see anything wrong with it. I think it's a cute marketing. You know, it's the Boston Marathon. The whole goal of the Boston Marathon is to not only finish, but finish with a better time than you've had before. Now, the new ad reads, Boston will always remind you, movement is what matters, in all caps. Okay, more inclusive, I get it, but you know, for the handful of people that may have been offended and lashed out, stop giving momentum to the people with the loudest voices. If you make a decision as a company, if you make a decision as a person, if you make a decision, stick with it. And unless it's you deciding for your own reasons to pivot, that it was a mistake, let's regroup and do it another way, or let's push through and get it done, that's the reason you change things. Not because a couple of loudmouths on social media want to create something out of nothing. And that's all I see this as being. Well, everything out of nothing. Listen, if that's the only thing you're angry about, if that's the only thing you're angry about, well, you're doing pretty good. And look, the original post that started all this, Iron Dr. Haas was the profile that did it, and it only got 3,357 likes. Okay, and 950 comments. Really not a lot to change a whole marketing brand, especially the day before the Boston Marathon. But, well, you know how it is. We have a couple of loudmouths on social media. We have to play it safe. Screw playing it safe. It's 3:42 here at WILK. Let me tell you about the Good Feet store located right here in Dixon City on a corner of Route 6 and Commerce Boulevard across from the Olive Garden. They make it easier than ever to feel your best. You want to increase your time on your walking and running? Get these Good Feet art supports. You can say goodbye to foot pain. Load a personalized comfort with the Good Feet art supports. No waiting. The art supports are immediately available. And you can experience the difference today with a free test walk proudly made here in the USA. So why wait to feel better? Visit them in 1945 Commerce Boulevard in Dixon City. Call them at 570-534-0980 or check them out online at goodfeet.com, because you're not going anywhere without Good Feet. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It is 3:45, 55 degrees on this Tuesday, April 21st. We do have our financial follow-up for the day. And again, these are ever-moving, changing goalposts. So this was for about 2 minutes ago. And here's the updated list with the latest market values as of April 21st, 2026 at about 3:44. The Dow is down. It's at 49,296. It's down 153 points, which is a 0.31% decline. NASDAQ Composite is at 24,350. That's down 54 points, just shy of a quarter percent down, 20.22%. Standard & Poor 500 is at 7,084. That's down 25 points. That's down 0.35%. Crude oil futures is at $90.24 a barrel. That's up $2.82. Gold is down $100 or 2.1% at $4,720. And again, these are ever-changing numbers. Check a live source for the current numbers. So again, the Dow Jones is down 153 points. The NASDAQ is down 54 for the day. Standard & Poor's down 25 points. Crude oil futures is up $2.82 at $90.24 per barrel, which is up there, but it's not as bad as we probably expect with the ceasefire expiring. There was some shooting back and forth between Hezbollah and Israel reported today. And gold down $100 a barrel. Still up there at 4,720, so not bad. The market has been pretty stable considering it has its fluctuations. You know, there was a day where a lot was lost and, you know, it was all brought back the next day and then some. But if you look at the fluctuations and the gradual increase in the market, it's doing just what it's supposed to do. And listen, we give them there today. You know, I give you this financial follow-up each day, and we give you the Bloomberg Money Minute each day to kind of keep you in tune. If you are later in, to your retirement ages, it's something you want to monitor. You want to have it in a safe zone. You know, I posted earlier today, you know, advice I would give my younger self. And if you're in that opportunity, you have children in that opportunity, grandchildren in that opportunity, instill this in them now. At age 25, if you would open a Roth IRA, placing $50 a week in a growth account in either Vanguard, Schwab, Fidelity, it doesn't really matter where you put it, but a growth account, then forget it. From age 25 to 65, you would have paid into it $104,000 or $2,600 a year. Now, $2,600 a year is not a lot of money. It's something that you can do. $50 a week, you know, it's a lunch out. That will be worth at age 65, $1.5 million thanks to compounded interest. At 6% interest only on that $1.5 million, that's $90,000 a year or $7,500 a month without touching the principal. So that's real retirement money right there. You add that to your Social Security, whatever pension 401ks you vested in. If you were to start that at 30, it'd be almost half that $1.5 million. So the sooner you do this, the better. Start it with children yourself. Get a custodial Roth IRA for your grandchildren, your children who are young children. Fund it. Put an amount in there for Christmas, an amount in there for their birthday. Put a little bit each month in there. By the time they're 40 and 50, they're going to have quite a bit of money. But again, 25, simply $50 a week. By the time you're 65, you'll have $1.5 million. It's time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. Time for the NEPA Premium Perks. Enjoy this half-off deal for Mist in Mountaintop. They got a dinner deal. Get a $40 gift certificate for only $20. Valid 3 p.m. to closing, offering a full selection of sushi and sashimi entries, teriyaki and tempura dinners, as well as specialty rolls, appetizers, and hibachi dinners. Located at Kirby Avenue in Mountaintop, visit GetMyPerks.com for all the details. We're back with the Rob O'Donnell Show here on WILK News Radio. I saw this article. John Gotti's grandson learns his fate in a COVID fraud case after begging to stay free to donate a kidney to his mom. Now, listen, you got to respect anyone looking out for their mom. But after you hear the amount that was fraudulently taken, justice needs to be served. Now, John Gotti's grandson was hit with a 15-month federal prison sentence Monday for running a million-dollar COVID relief scam, a break from the three-year stint he was facing. So he did get a little leniency. Carmine Agnello, 39, tried to dodge serious prison time on the 2024 fraud conviction for months, claiming his ailing mother, Victoria Gotti, would die without his kidney, and said he couldn't pull off the procedure from inside the federal lockup. Now, the judge met him halfway, hitting the Teflon Don's grandson with a lighter sentence and ordering him to pay more than $1.2 million in restitution, but opting against the max. Now, Angelo's lawyer said his client's link to the notorious Gambino boss doomed him from the start. Well, families who commit high-profile crimes normally do that. There was really no male role model for Carmine. They were all in jail, he told the judge. Yeah, I don't know if you're winning your case there. He tried to live up to the family name. Again, you're kind of going against the argument you're giving. He didn't have a childhood that would lead him anywhere beside here. So you're kind of admitting this is what he does. You know, he was destined or raised or programmed to commit fraud in the millions-dollar range. Now, Angelo grew up in the shadow of the mob with 15 relatives, including his famous granddad, spending time in prison. He was hurled into the spotlight as a kid in his mom's 2004 reality TV show, Growing Up Gotti. Why she did that is beyond me, but that's what they do, I guess. You know, the attention. Angelo admitted in 2024 that he pocketed $1.1 million in COVID relief funds that were meant to help struggling businesses. He used the cash to invest in cryptocurrency. Now, here's the thing. The scam skimmed economic injury disaster loans from the Small Business Administration that were meant to help companies bounce back from the pandemic shutdown. During the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, the defendant shamelessly lined his own pockets with government and taxpayer dollars, which he must repay as part of today's sentence, said the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District. But here's the thing. If he stole $1.1 million and used it to invest in cryptocurrency, could they really track what he made from that? I mean, there's a very real possibility with the ups and downs of cryptocurrency that he invested this money and made quite a bit of money. So if you're ending up, listen, if you steal $100,000 and you do something with it to where you end up making $1 million, and then they say, well, you're going to have to pay $150,000 back. Okay. Doesn't sound bad to me. And even after spending 15 months in jail, you come out and have a few $100,000 stashed aside. Is that just the cost of doing business? Well, yeah, most people would say yes, especially criminals. Now, this is, you know, growing up in New York City, this was just part of the news every day in New York City. Interesting story that I dated a girl who lived in Howard Beach, and that's where John Gotti lived. He actually lived on the same block as this girl I dated. And it's in a very Italian neighborhood. I'm an Irish guy. I was a cop. And they knew right away who I was when I went to go visit or hang out there or pick her up or drop her off. And his sons were known troublemakers. And they didn't like someone from the outside coming to date one of their girls, as it was. But they were also told hands off because at that time there was, you know, a no mess with the police policy because it brought heat that they didn't want. Now, his son obviously didn't listen to that. He had his garage and tow company there that ended up fighting with the police later on after, this is long after I was married and, you know, was out of that area. But it was interesting because during that few months, you know, I probably drove by his house, John Gotti's house, several times a week. They were always out there. There were always people watching the house as far as both federal entities and, you know, his own people. His kids were always around there, you know, Howard Beach causing trouble because of that name. And this is his grandson. This isn't his kids. He's a lot younger. So he wouldn't have been in the picture back then, or he would have been a baby at that point. Was he 39 now? Yeah, so he's, you know, 20 years younger than me. But the argument by his own attorney really didn't button anything up. As far as, you know, you're basically admitting that crime was the only life he had available to him. And listen, if his mom really needs a kidney and he's going to donate one, all the best to them. Pay full restitution. But can they really find out? You know, did he make any money off of that? And is that part of the restitution? Is that part of the penalty phase here? Because without that, it's just the cost of doing business. So, you know, interesting that still in the headlines, the Gotti name here in 2026. It's coming up on 4 o'clock here at WILK. We'll be back after the news and weather break.